Begin the current daf, Kedush and daf lamed. Begin 8 lines down for the tab of the yomid. But the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara quoted a brisa elaborating on the halacha of our Mishnah that there are certain obligations that are coming upon the father, not the mother, relating to his son that he has to circumcise him, he has to redeem his firstborn son, and one of them was the obligation to teach his son Torah. So the Gemara continues quoting and says, "Ad heichen chayiv odem lelamed es benoy Torah." To what extent is a father obligated to teach his son Torah? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel explains, "Kegoin Zvulun ben Don." For example, like Zvulun ben Don, who was a student in the days of Shmuel, shelimdei avi aviv, that his grandfather taught him mikra, chumash, umishna, mishnayis, betalmud, and gemara, halachis, the halachic aspect, vagodis, and the homiletic teachings, those of personal growth. Agadita, the story parts, that's what the father has to teach him. Now, that the Gemara Meisve, but we learned in the Braisa that seemingly contradicts this. The Braisa says, Limde Mikra, the father taught him Chumash, in Malamde Mishnah, he does not have to teach him Mishnayis. In other words, the obligation that a father has to his son is only for Mikra, for Chumash. From that point on, the son could learn himself. And for Amar Rav, Rav actually explained that Braisa, that Mikra Zu Taira. When it says he has to teach him the psukim, it's actually only reference to the chumash and not even to Nevi'im and Ksuvim, to the prophets and the writings. So how can Shmuel say that he has to teach him all those things when we see from the Braisa they only have to teach chumash? So the Gemara answers, no. Kizvulun ben Don, when Shmuel said that the obligation to teach Torah to a child is like Zvulun ben Don, v'loy kizvulun ben Don, but it's not totally like Zvulun ben Don. As the Gemara explains, Kizvulun ben Don, when he was comparing it to Zvulun ben Don, was Shalimdi Avi Aviv. What he was learning from him was that it was his grandfather that had taught him Torah. In other words, when Shmuel had phrased the question, Ad Heichen, was not in regards to how much Torah do you have to teach him. It was actually in reference to generationally. How far in generations is there an obligation to teach one's progeny, one's descendants Torah? That's what Rabbi Yehuda was saying in the name of Shmuel. It's for one's son and for one's grandson, which was like Zvulun ben Don, that his grandfather had taught him Torah. The like is Zvulun ben Don, but not totally like Zvulun ben Don. The Elo Hasim, because you're right, whereas by Zvulun ben Don, his grandfather had taught him Mikra, Mishnah, Betalmud, Halachas, Vagadis. That's not required. The Elo Hacha, Mikra Levad. However, here what we see in the Braisa, the obligation is only to teach Chumash. What the question was and what the answer was from Zvulun ben Don was that it's not just the father that has obligation, but it's even the grandfather that has the obligation to teach his grandson Torah. Now, that the Gemara asks, is that really true that the grandfather has an obligation to teach his grandchild Torah? But Vatanya learned the Braisa, the Pasuk in the Varm says, that you should teach it, the words of Torah, to your sons, and not for your grandsons. Now, Umani Mekayim says the Braisa, how do I fulfill the previous Pasuk that says, that you should let it be known, these words of Torah, to your sons and your grandsons? That's to teach you something else. Should call him a lamed as benoy Torah, that whoever teaches his son Torah, mala lavakasav ki'ilu limdoi loy. It's the Torah equates it and compares it as if he has taught him ula benoy and for his son, ula ben benoy and for his grandson, atzev kladas until all future generations. So when it's saying that you should let it be known to your grandsons, it's not by direct teaching, but rather indirectly through the consequence of teaching your son Torah, because if you teach your son Torah, he's going to teach his son, and so on. It's as if you taught all your future generations. So seemingly, the answer we gave in the Gemara for Shmuel's halacha is contradicted from this brisa that says that the grandfather that has no obligation, even like it was in the case of Zvulun ben Don, to teach his grandson Torah. So the Gemara answers, Hu da'amar ki hai tana d'tanya. You're right, this brisa disagrees with Shmuel, but Shmuel holds like the tana of a different brisa that does agree to him. That brisa says, quoting this pasuk, "For lamadatem oisim es b'neichem, that you should teach your sons Torah." Says the brisa, "Ainly ele b'neichem, I would only know you have an obligation to teach your sons Torah. B'nei b'neichem inayin, how do you know you have an obligation even to teach your grandchildren Torah?" That's what the pasuk teaches, "Vaydatem levenecha v'levenei venecha, that you should let it be known to your sons and to your grandsons." Now, imkei ma tamalom ebenechem, so this tanya, this brisa then 4:1, so what do you do with that other pasuk that sounds like that you teach it to your sons, and as the previous brisa had said, and not to your grandsons? That's to teach something else, not benechem v'loy b'nei benechem, but rather benechem v'loy b'nei seichem. It's to say your sons and not your daughters, that there is no obligation to teach one's daughter's Torah. So therefore we have this machlekes, which moves like this tanya, regarding the obligation of the grandfather if he has to teach his grandson Torah. Amri Bishu ben Levi. says, Kol ha-malamed es ben b'noi Torah, whoever does teach his grandson Torah, malo lo v'kosev kilu kiblu mehar Sinai. The Torah equates it as if he has received the Torah from Mount Sinai. Shonem, like it says in the Pasuk, it says, v'idatim levenecha v'levenei venecha. You should let it be known, you should teach the words of Torah to your sons and your grandsons. The Samach Lein, it says after that, Yemar Shemadet lefnei Hashem akecha b'chayev, that the day that you stood in front of Hashem on Har Sinai, so you see that if someone's teaching his grandson Torah, it's as if he received the Torah from Sinai. Now, the Gemara actually illustrates this, the obligation that Rabbi Shmuel Levi was teaching regarding one's grandchild's learning of Torah. Rabbi Chir Bar Abba, Ashkechei Rabbi Shmuel Levi. Once happened, Rabbi Chir Bar Abba encountered Rabbi Shmuel Levi, the Shadi Disna Aresha, that he had thrown on some type of a cloth, which wasn't appropriate for a head covering. It was just, he just used something to cover his head, that he shouldn't be walking in the street with his head uncovered, and he didn't put on his appropriate attire as befitting for a great personage like Rabbi Shmuel Levi, which usually they put on a sudder or some type of a head kerchief. He just took some type of bedspray, put something, and threw it over his head. He was quickly rushing with his grandchild, the little child, to the shul where they used to learn in with their teachers. So Amaleis, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said to Rabbi Shmuel Levi, "My kulei, what's the big deal? Why you rush out without properly attiring yourself to get your child out to the Beis Medrash?" So Amaleis, Rabbi Shmuel Levi said to him, "Mizutu ma'idach siv? Is it a small thing what the pasuk says, v'idatim levanecha, that you should let it be known to your sons and your grandsons?" V'samach le'en, the pasuk puts it near Yemar Shemadet lefnei Hashem lekecha b'chayev, that it's the day that you stood in front of Mount Sinai, meaning, as he had said in the previous Gemara's interpretation, that it's as if receiving the Torah from Har Sinai if you're teaching Torah to your grandchild. So therefore, I'm rushing to get him to yeshiva. So the Gemara tells us from that point on, Reb Chir Bar Abba, loitom umtza. He didn't taste this umtza, which was this small amount of meat that would be roasted on coals, which they used to eat like a breakfast, a small little breakfast. He wouldn't even taste that ademakrili yanuka until he would teach the young child what he would review with him, what he learned yesterday. And then he would add on, he would teach him another pasuk. Again, because see how important it is. How can you go ahead and be busy with other things when your child still didn't get to yeshiva, didn't learn Torah? It's like receiving Torah from Har Sinai. You want to rush out quickly to go ahead and do that. So to Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, Leitam Umtze, he also wouldn't eat this little breakfast Ademaisli Yanuka Le Beis Medrash until he would bring the young child to the study hall, to the Beis Medrash. Now Amar Rav Safi Mishum Yishub Mechanani says, Ma'idach Siv, what does it mean the pasuk in Devarim? Vishinantam Levanecha, that you should teach the words of Torah to your son. What's the extra nun? It should say Vishinisem, you should teach it. What's Vishinantam? So Atuka Vishinantam, don't read it Vishinantam Ela Vishilashtam, that you should thrice it, that you should triple it. In other words, from the fact that it didn't say Vishinisem, rather adds on another nun to say that it's not just double, which is the word Shani is double, but rather it's another one adding on to the double, which is three. What does it mean you should teach? You should learn the words of Torah and teach it to your sons in threes, which is la'ilam yishalash adam shnayisav. A person should split up his years into threes. Shlish b'mikra, a third of his life should be learning chumash. Shlish b'mishnah, a third should be learning mishnayis, the text of the Torah shabapeh. And shlish b'talmud, a third of it should be in Talmud, which is what we call Gemara, which are the logic and the reasonings of the complexities and the ambiguities of the mishnayis, and to resolve the seemingly inconsistencies between them. So that's how a person should be mishalish his learning of Torah. Now the Gemara asks, miyad kamachai, does a person know how long he's going to live to split up his life into threes? That much goal planning? So the Gemara says, lei tzricha liyomi, doesn't mean according to the life, rather means how to split up the days of his week according to the days. That's how he should split up a third in Mikra, a third in Mishnah, and a third in Gemara. Now the Gemara continues in the unrelated, its own idea. It says, lefikach nikru rishonim seifrim. That's why the earlier sages were called seifrim, which literally means to say scribes, as the pasuk in Divrei Yom Aleph says, umishpachis seifrim, that the families of the seifrim, the Tamid HaChacham, Yesh v'yayvitz, why were they called scribes? Shei seifrim kol esei shabbat Torah, because the scribe, part of that word seifer, is also lispar, means to count. Shei seifrim kol esei shabbat Torah, because they would count all the letters in the Torah. Because they said, Vav de Gichen, and this they calculated these amounts, which is why they called Sefer, is that the Vav of the word Gichen, which is a pasuk in Mayuka that says, Kol Hoylich al Gichen, that whoever goes on his belly, Chetzin shal Oisius shal Sefer Torah. It's the midpoint of the letters of the Sefer Torah. So to a pasuk in Mayuka that says, Dorosh Dorash, is chetzin shel tevis. That's the half point of the words in the Sefer Torah. So to a pasuk miyukah that says v'yizgaloch, that he will shave, ishal psukim is the midpoint of the psukim in the Torah. So to yicharsamen chazim yar, when it says that pasuk in Tehillim, the ayin the yar, the ayin of that word yar in the forest, is chetzin shel tehillim, is the midpoint of the letters of Sefer Tehillim. So to v'hurachu mechaper avayin, that the merciful one will forgive sin, it's chetzi the psukim, is the midpoint of the psukim of Sefer Tehillim. Now, Boyer Yosef inquired regarding this that we just mentioned, Vav de Gichen, this that they had counted and they calculated, that the letter Vav of the word Gichen is the midpoint of the letters of the Sefer Torah, Mahai Gisa, is it from this side or from that side? In other words, it's midpoint before the Vav or after the Vav? Is it from the first half of the Sefer Torah or the second half? So Amalei, so they said to Rabbi Yosef, Nasi Sefer Torah, v'nim ninu, bring a Sefer Torah, and let's open, let's start counting. Mila Amar Rabbi Bachana, didn't Rabbi Bachana say, Leizazim Hashem, that they didn't leave there, which Rashi doesn't know what that's referring to, at Sheviyu Sefer Torah Manam, until they brought a Sefer Torah, and they counted, and they calculated, so let's open up, we'll figure it out ourselves. So Amalei Risa says, no, we can't do that. Inhu, the earlier sages, Beki Bechaseris V'yaseris, they were proficient in which letters are missing from the Sefer Torah and which ones are extra. There are certain words that are not written and some words that have to be placed in. We're not so proficient in what's the real metrics of the Sefer Torah. Even if we count it, it's not the true numbers of how many letters there are, and therefore we can't just count. So to Rabbi Yisrael had asked, V'hizgalach, when it says the midpoint of the psukim is the pasuk of V'hizgalach, is that Mahagisa or Mahagisa? Is that from this side or that side? So Amalei Abaye said, okay, psukim mi aleis lemnuya, but at least psukim, let us count and count. That, we're not missing psukim, there's no extra or missing psukim in the Sefer Torah. So then Rabbi Yisrael says, no, we can't do that either. B'psukim namalei bekinu, we're not proficient in psukim. Why? T'chi aser av acha ba'ado amar, when he came, he said in Bavel, he said, b'marava paski lelahai krola tluse psukim. Says that although here in Bavel, the way we read it, we have it in one pasuk, and there it's Yisrael to actually split up that one pasuk into three different psukim. As it says in Shemais, Vayem Hashem HaMoshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Hine Anoichi Bo Alecha Ba'ava On, behold, I'm coming to you in the thickness of the cloud, etc. With that pasuk, although we have it as one, they split up that pasuk into threes, and therefore we can't even count to know if it's from the first half or the second half, because we're not proficient to know what's a real pasuk or what should be split up into more pasukim. Continuing on this theme, the Gemara says, Tan Rabban, the learned in the Braisa, Chameshas Alafim, 5,000, Ushmein Emeis, and 800, Ushmeinim psukim and 88 psukim have a psukim Sefer Torah. That's how many psukim there are in the Sefer Torah. Now, Yesro love Tilim Shmeina. Tilim has 8 more psukim than the Sefer Torah, and Chasr Mimenu, and there's less than the amount in the Sefer Torah is Divayim Shmeina. In Sefer Divayim, there's 8 less than the Sefer Torah. Now, turn up on Linda Bryce, going back to what we had mentioned before regarding this obligation of teaching Torah to one's son and of learning Torah. So Linda Bryson recorded this pasuk before. It says Vishinantam, that which is usually translated as one should teach Levanecha to your son, but the use of the terminology Vishinantam, which comes from the word of Shinun, which means sharp, says the Bryson, that the words of Torah should be sharp in your mouth. In other words, you should constantly review them and analyze them and go into the plumb, the depth of them. That is Shem Yishalcha Adam Davis, so that if a person shall ask you a question, you shouldn't have to mumble and start saying, and, that's the word gam, also, trying to think, ala amala miyad, that you could automatically execute and answer him his question. It should be sharp in your mouth. Shem, like it says, apostolic in Mishle, as Gemara continues, Amad Beis, it says, emr la chachma achoisi at vagrema, say to wisdom, you are my sister. What does that mean? You should be so proficient in the wisdom of Tyra, like your sister, that she's forbidden to you, because that's pretty obvious, everyone knows regarding incest. That's how well-versed you should be in Tyra. Or actually, Rashi says it could be from Bogemah, from the end of the pasuk that says Umayda Labina Tikra, that you should call to understanding in a knowing way, that it should be well known to you. Now, Vayman says the pasuk before that, and this is the Gemara leading up to showing how it should be sharp in the mouth of your students. That's what it says Vishnantam Levanecha. You should teach Torah. It's not just to teach them, that it should be sharp in their mouth. It says in the pasuk before that, it says Kashma Letzbayasecha. You should tie it on your finger. You should write it on the tablet of your heart. Now, Vayimet says a pasuk in Tehillim, Kichitzim biyad gibra, like arrows in the hand of the mighty one, which is that he uses that to fight with his enemies. Kain b'nei hanu urim. So too are the sons of the youth. Now, the sons is a reference to one's students, because students are called banim, as Yechezkiel says in Divrei Yom HaBeis, that b'ni ato al tishlu, you see that the students are called sons. So we see that students are compared to chitza. Now, v'im, it says a pasuk in Tehillim that chitze giber shenunim, the arrows of the mighty one are sharp. So v'im, it says a pasuk in Tehillim that chitzecha, your arrows, which again, metaphorically is a reference to one's students, that's b'nei ha'ne'urim, the students of the ne'urim are kechitzim yad giber, chitzecha, your arrows shenunim, should be sharp. Amim tachtecha yiplu, the people will fall underneath you. Vayman, it says a pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Asher ha-gever, praiseworthy is the man, Asher mili es ha-shbosim him, that fills up his quiver from them. That's what the arrows are held in by the one that's shooting the arrows. So since we're comparing students to arrows, so that's why it uses the terminology of filling up one's quiver with them. So it's talking about a teacher, praiseworthy is he who has such students, lo yivayshu, they will not be embarrassed. Ki yedabris oyovim bashar, that when they're able to vanquish their enemies by the gate. Now the interpretation of the metaphor is my es oyevim bashar. What does it mean that which yedabru could also mean speaking or can mean overpowering that with their enemies in the gate? So Amar B'chibar Abi explains regarding what the metaphor is: afilo ha'avu benoi, even the father and the son, or haravit talmido, or a teacher and a student, that they're learning Torah in one gate, meaning they're learning together, which is yedabru es oye, if they're learning Torah bashar in the gate, so nasu oivim zeze, they become enemies one with the other, because he's asking a question and he doesn't accept his answer and they're going back and forth. The einim zazimisham, so that's what the pasuk is saying, that ki yedabru es oivim bashar, which is talking about the sharp student with his teacher, they're fighting. Now, but the einim zazim isham achinasim oivim zazim. But they don't leave from there until they become best friends, until they love each other. Shneimar, it says the pasuk b'Midbar, it says es vahev besufa. Now, the interpretation of that is es vahev is can be read that the hava, the love, is besufa. I'll take your besufa. Don't read it besufa. Ella besseifa. Rather at the end. So although that's a reference to the different wars that there were, but the homiletic interpretation is saying sefer melchamos, the pasuk says over there, which the book of all the wars were es vehev besufa, but the interpretation is saying that the wars, the melchamos that are through a sefer, meaning through the learning, that's where there's vehev, there's going to be love, besufa at the end. So although they're fighting because you created sharp students, as it says, vishnantam levanecha, but then ultimately it's going to bring such a great synthesis of the thesis with the antithesis, will create such love at the end. That's what happens. Although there's the fighting, there's the great love at the end. Tanaban Linda Brysa, continuing on the learning of Torah, says in the pasuk in Devarim, "Besamtem, that you should place as Devarai Eila, my words, alavavchem, on your heart, you should be learning Torah." So the word besamtem could be broken up into two words, sam, tam, a complete potion, salve, a remedy, which means to say that salvation is not lacking anything. It's a complete sum, which is, as the Brisa explains, nimshlo terik esam chaim, the Torah is compared to an elixir of life, which is mashal adam shehikes benoy makar gedol. This could be compared to a man that hits his son a huge wound. Which, as we'll see, that's a reference to the Yetzirah. V'nich le'riti al makase. Now, then he gives him a bandage for his wound. V'amalei, and he tells him, B'ni, my son, kozman she'riti al makase. As long as you have this medication, this bandage on your wound, achol masha nascha, you could eat whatever you desire. V'shasei masha nascha, you could drink whatever you desire. Meaning, whatever you feel good with, you could go ahead with that. Even honey or all types of sweets, which are usually very harsh for a wound. And v'rachid, you could bathe yourself, be mechamed, be mitzayin, whether with warm water, cold water. So although you usually go to a doctor and you have all these limitations, Hashem says, look, and this is the father who hit his son, he says, what? If you have this medication, you're good to go. Ve'inat misyar, don't have to be afraid. But ve'imat ma'vi, if you take off this bandaging, hari malanoimi, it's going to create these types of, it's going to sprout these boils, it's really going to be harmful for you. So kacha Kadosh Baruch Hu amar l'am Yisrael. So this is exactly what Kadosh Baruch Hu tells the Jewish people. B'ni, my son, b'rasi yetzahara, I created the evil inclination. It's part of Hashem creating the world, a free will, create a body that has intrinsic to it in the heart. There's an evil inclination that pulls a person to escape from his life, which is the makah gedola that the father does to his son. Now, uberas lo tari tavlin, but I've created an antidote for that. I have the bandaging, which is the Torah. V'matam oiskim atayr, if you toil in Torah, ein atam nimsarim b'yadu, you will not be given over to the hands of the evil inclination. Because you're going to desire to live, which is what Torah teaches you. Shnei, like it says, the pasuk in Bereishis. Hashem says to Cain after he kills Hevel, and he just wants to run from his life and escape, says Hashem to Cain, Haloyim Tetiv, behold, if you will be good, which is a reference to the Lekach Torah, the good acquisition, a reference to the words of Torah, Se'es, which the whole Havaya, the whole creation is Hashem, which is Tov. If you engage in my Torah, which is engaging in me, says Hashem, then Se'es, you'll be elevated over your inclination. But v'im ein atem oiskim b'Torah, but if you don't toil in Torah, atem nimsarim b'yado, you'll be given over in his hands. And like it says over there, Hashem says to Cain, la pesach chatas ravitz, at the entryway, sin is crouching, it's waiting to pounce on you. Now, and then actually, from inertia, if nothing's done actually, you're going to end up sinning, which is the makkah. The makkah will end up creating boils unless you actively have the bandage on it. Now, v'loyed, not only that, actually, all the business dealings, all the interactions of the Yetzirah, of the evil inclination, are bach, are only regarding you, mankind, to make you sin. His whole one focused goal is to make you stumble. It's not like it says over there in the Pasuk, Ve'elecha tishukasa, Hashem says to Cain, and to you is his desire. He's going to go at all costs to make you fall. But Hashem says to Cain, Ve'imata reitza, but if you want, if you toil in Torah, and ata moishel boy, and then you can rule over him. Shnemak, it says in the Pasuk over there, Ve'ata tim shel boy, and you will rule over him. So again, we see, Torah is v'samtem. It's a complete sam. And then you can do whatever you want. You'll be engaging in this world as a kaddish, as someone holy, because you're engaged in toiv, in good, in the lekach toiv, in the good acquisition that of Torah, which is Havai, which is living your life. But if not, the Yetzirah wants you to escape and numb and to run away, and that's going to be automatic if you don't engage in Torah. Tana ban linda b'raisa, kasha Yetzirah, how harsh is the evil inclination, shafili yitzri karara, that even the one who made him, the creator, who only is toiv, calls him bad. Shnemak, it says the pasuk in Bereishis, ki yetzir lev ha'adam ra min urav, because the inclination of the heart of man is evil from his youth, and that is from a young age, a person wants to run and avoid the life that Hashem gave him. Which this is the critical aspect of a person understanding his objective on this world, is to be kaivish, that yetzir, to be able to overpower his inclination, which at great length the Maral Nesiv Keicha Yetzer talks about, which that also is something that has to be addressed at another time, is that this concept about understanding the Keicha Yetzer, which wants a person to flee from his essence, from his life, and our objective is to use the Torah to overpower that. So to Amrav Yitzchak, Yitzchak says, Yitzri shel adam mischad shel av b'chol yom. A person's inclination renews himself every single day. Shnem, like it says the pasuk in Bereishis, that the pasuk there says in Bereishis vav pasuk hey, that it says that Hashem saw that how wicked is man on the earth, and as the pasuk there says b'chol yitzir machshav is libay, and that the inclination of the plotting of his heart, and that's actually where the yitzhar is, not in the seichel, it's actually in the heart. Emotionally, the person is drawn to these things called emotional reasoning, is rak rak kalayim, is only evil all day. Now, that, and since this is a pasuk yisrael, it's superfluous, which comes to teach us that every moment of the day, the evil is renewing itself. That's what rak rak, only evil, kalayim, all day. What does that mean, all day? There's something new. There's constant rationalizations. As the Chafetz Chaim says in Mekar Chaim, in the beginning, in the Lavin over there, when he talks about Chil Hashem, is that you can rationalize from today to tomorrow, say that this is not Lashon Hara, it's not wrong for this person, you could. That's the evil inclination he wants you to cop out. And that's the entire day, he's giving you rationalization after rationalization to just not live your life. So Tuv Amr B'Shimon Ben Levi says, Yitzri Shel Adam Misgaber Lav B'Chol Yom. A person's inclination is overpowering on the person every single day. He's getting stronger and stronger. He's doing push-ups in the parking lot while you're just sitting idly there. Umevakesh hamisay, and he wants to kill the person. Shem, like it says, a pasuk in Tehillim, says tzeifa rosh letzadik. The wicked person anticipates for the righteous person. Umevakesh hamisay, and he wants to kill him all day. He thinks, how could he kill the tzadik? And the tzadik is, and the person is just sitting there. And therefore, ve'ilmala hakadosh baruch hu, if nafa hakadosh baruch hu helping a person, ein yachaloi. he wouldn't be able to overpower the inclination. It's so strong. And as Mesillas Yesharim explains, it has to be that strong because or else a person would not want to engage in this world. Who would want to give up the nefesh, the neshama, the spirituality, the higher levels of engaging in pleasure in this world? That's why Hashem had to make him so strong. And if not for a person getting Siyat Deshmaya, a person would not be able to overpower the inclination. So like it says in the pasuk over there, it says, Elikim lo yazven b'yade, that God will not forsake him in his hand of the evil inclination, but a person has to do his utmost, he has to learn Torah, and then Hashem will support him, and that's how he could overpower his desire to run from his life. Continuing on this concept about learning Torah, the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, was taught in the Brayos of the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, that says, B'ni, my son, in paga b'cha menuvel zev, this menuvel, from the word of nevel, of repulsiveness, if this repulsive thing encounters you, in other words, if the evil inclination is trying to seduce you and entice you, then draw him, pull him into the study hall. And that is because if your defense mechanism is that you're stone, you're hard, you're cold, you're callous, it will dissolve, it will melt. Torah has a way of penetrating. If it's iron, you're strong, you don't care, you're someone that pushes your way through life, and you think you don't need anything, you're stronger than that, misplaces it. The Torah is compared to fire, and it bubbles and it shatters the iron. Something like it says the pasuk in Yirmiyah, "Halakoy devar ke'esh no Hashem." Hashem says, "Behold, my word is like fire," says Hashem. "Ukapatish yefaitzitzela," and like a hammer will shatter the rock. That no matter what it is, even if you're like iron, the Torah could penetrate. And im even hu nimayich, and like we said, that if you're a rock, it will dissolve. Shlomo says the pasuk in Yeshaya, it says, "Hoy kol tzame lechu lamayim." Gives a metaphor for Torah. It says, "Behold, all those who are thirsty should go to the water," referencing for Torah. And since Torah is compared to water, V'ayim, the pasuk in Eve says, "Avonim shachaku mayim," that the water that it makes a hole, it penetrates, it dissolves the rock. And that is, no matter if you're like a rock or if you're like iron, the Torah will find a way to penetrate your inclination, your desire to run from your life. Torah could give you that vitality, that desire to live, to engage in Torah, to engage in Havaya, in the reality of the life that Hashem gave us. Now the Gemara goes back to explaining the Braisa that had mentioned the things that were the obligations of the father to his son. Another one is Lahasiya Isha. He has an obligation to marry off his son. So the Gemara says, Nolan, where do we know this from? That's like it says the passing in Yirmiyah. It says, Kichu Nashim V'Hilidu Banim Abonis. Tells that the Navi tells to the people, take wives and give birth to sons and daughters. Then, ukhu lebneichem nashim, take for your sons wives, vesbneisechem tenula nashim, and your daughters you should give to men. Now, so that's the source, obviously, where it says that there's an obligation to marry off one son. But the Gemara asks, bishleim ebnei biyadeh. We understand that one son, it's his wherewithal where he can marry off his son to a woman. Elebita biyadehi, is his daughter in his hand to have her get married off to men? It's the man that engages the woman. So how could he get the men to marry her his daughter with the pasuk saying, give your daughters to men, as if men are lining up by his door, just decide which one to give it to? What does that mean? So the Gemara says, yeah, this is what the prophet was telling the people. Nitin lo mide, give stuff to your daughter, ulavashi unachasi, clothe her and cover her, kehecha dekavta la'inshi, that people should desire to marry her. So adorn her and do things for her that will motivate the men. You can't marry her off, but you could put her in a position where men are going to want to marry her, and that's what the Navi is exhorting the people to do that for one's daughters too. Then the Braisa said, and additionally, a father's obligation is lamda umnas. He has to teach a profession to his son. So the Gemara says, Nolan, where do we know this from? So Amechizkir, Damakra, Chizkir says in the Pasuk in Kehelas, Re'ei Chayim, you should see to live life, which is a reference to one's profession, which is what gives a person the ability to live life, im isha asher ahavta, with the woman that you love. So we see that the pasuk's equating one's profession, one's livelihood, with one's wife. So on that, the Gemara says, either way you interpret, im isha, if when the pasuk here is talking about a woman, a wife, it means literally mamashi, means a wife. So what the pasuk is teaching you is kashem shechayv lasi isha, just like there's an obligation, as we said before, as we brought a source, for a father to marry off, give his son a wife, kachayv lalam de umnes. So too it has to be chayim ima isha, he also has to teach him a profession. Now, im toirihi, because we know that the esh is chayil, the wife is a metaphor for Torah, so if it's metaphorical, when it says, im isha asher hafti, you should live life with the woman that you love, a reference to the Torah, as Rabbi Baruch Beis says in Zagdam and Birch Shmuel, that this should be your objective, the wife, is if it's a reference to Torah, so shem shechayv lulam de Torah, just like there's an obligation to teach his son Torah, kachayv lulam de omnes, either one that is told about, whether it's Torah or woman, just like he has an obligation to give him that, he has an obligation to give him the other part of the pasuk, which is equating it to teach him a profession. Now, then the Braisa said, those who say, aflashita benar, his obligation also, he has to teach his son how to swim in the river. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? Because his life depends on it, because if he's on the ship one time and it sinks, he's not going to be able to survive if you don't teach him how to swim. Now, Rabbi Huda, the Braisa said, Rabbi Huda said, kol she'enim alam de'umnes, and whoever does not teach his son a profession, Malam de Listis is teaching him banditry, to be a bandit, to be a thief. So the question is, Listis al kadaydich, does it really mean that you're teaching him how to be a bandit? Eliki ilu malam de Listis, it's as if you're teaching him to be a bandit because he's not going to know how to provide for himself. And then what's a man to do if not to go ahead and take extreme, drastic measures and to rob people by the crossroads and thus support himself and his family? So the Gemara is my benayu. What's the difference between, in other words, what's Rabbi Huda adding on to the Pinna Tanakama? He also said you have to teach him umnas. What is he adding on by saying, and if you don't teach him, it's like you're teaching him listis? So the Gemara says, Ike benayu de agmere iska. The difference between them is, if, let's say, you don't teach him a profession, but you teach him a trade. You get him into a business, where according to Tanakama, you gave him some type of a livelihood, and therefore you taught him life, and you fulfilled your obligation. But according to Behuda, who is going down to the core of the reasoning, the rationale behind it, so he holds that you have to actually teach him a profession. Because many times it could happen that even if you teach him a trade, but he doesn't have merchandise to deal with, and then he'll be out of a job, and then he's going to have to go ahead and be a listim to go ahead and be a bandit. It's if you teach him a profession where that will always be with him, that Rabbi Huda holds it's not enough to teach him a trade, you actually have to teach him a profession. Now Gemara goes back to our Mishnah. That concludes the first halacha of the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah said the inverse type of a statement, that kol mitzvus ha'av ala ben, that all the mitzvahs that of the father on the son, that both men and women are obligated in that. So the Gemara asks, my kol mitzvus ha'av al ha'ben, what does it mean when it says that all the mitzvahs of the father on the son are for both men and women? So the Gemara says, ilei mekol mitzvasa demechayiv aba lemeved lebrei, if you would interpret that to mean that all the mitzvahs that a father has to do for his son, for example, as we said in the Brice that we just finished explaining, to circumcise him, to redeem him, which then you would read the Mishnah as, kol mitzvah sha'av mitzuva al ma'isa ha'ben, all the mitzvahs that the father commandment to do for his son, that's how you would read this halacha, the Mishnah, that kol mitzvah sha'av al ha'ben, all the mitzvahs that the father has regards to his son. So then the question is, nashim chayavis, are women really obligated? Because that's what the halacha is saying, both men and women are obligated in that. But Tanya Litna Braisa, it says, it's only ha'av chayiv, the father is obligated, bibnoi in the son, l'moylik, to circumcise him, l'ftaisai, and to redeem him, which tells us, aviv in imayloi, his father yes, his mother not. So how can you say that that's what the halacha is saying, anoshim vin nashim chayavim? It's rather, Amr Rabbi Huda, he says, hachikam, and this is what the Mishnah is saying, kol mitzvah sa'av hamutelis al ha'ben lasis la'aviv. Any mitzvah, so when it says kol mitzvah sa'av al ha'ben, it's not that the father has to do for his son, rather all mitzvahs of the father that's incumbent upon the son to do for his father, for example, the two primary mitzvahs of kibud avayim and moira avayim, to honor one's parents and to fear one's parents, that's echad anoshim echad anoshim chayavim. That's both men and women are obligated to do for those parents. So the Gemara says, Tanin l'had d'tan rabban, and that supports what we learned in the following braisa. The pasuk says regarding fearing one's parents, it says ish, it says a man. Now, ainli ela ish, I would only know that a man, a boy, has to fear his parents. Isha minan, how would I know the same thing applies to a woman, to a daughter? Kesho emet tiro, and the pasuk says ish imay v'av tiro, they shall fear the parents. Harikan shnayim, it's referring to two people. So therefore, it's obviously not just for the son, but it's also for the daughter. Now, imke matamalim ish, then why does the pasuk use the term ish, a man, which sounds like a man, not a woman? To tell you, because qualitatively, it is more appropriate for a man. Because ish, sipik biyadilasis. A man always has the wherewithal, the resources, to go ahead and to fear and to do what he has to do for his parents because there's no one protesting and stopping him from doing what he has to do for his parents. Isha ain't sipik b'yadalasis, but a woman doesn't always have the wherewithal to do what her parents want, because she's under her husband's domain. And that's the obligations that there are in the marriage that she has to primary to her husband, and therefore she can't do whatever her parents need, in contrast to the husband. And that's why it says ish to connote that point, where it's primarily on the son more than the daughter. Now, however, Amrav Idibar Av and Amrav, he says in his Karsha, but if she gets divorced from her husband, then obviously Shneim Shavin, they're both the same, meaning her and her brother will have the same obligations in the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, because then she doesn't have the obligations and the restraints of her husband to be able to fulfill the obligations of Kibud Av V'Em like her brother. Now, Tana Ban Linda Braisa, showing the severity of this halach of Kibud Av V'Em, Nemet says a pasuk in Shemais, Kabed es avicha v'semecha. It says to honor your father and your mother. Now, Benema, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, it says, Kabed es Hashem mohinecha, you should honor Hashem from your wealth, which Hishva kasav Kibud Av V'Em l'Kibud HaMakom. So we see that there's two psukim of honoring. One says to honor your parents, and one says to honor Hashem. So we see that the pasuk is equating honoring Hashem and honoring your parents. So too, Nema, there's a pasuk in Biyikra that says, Ish, a man, imei va'av tiro, should fear his mother and father. Now, the Nebet says a pasuk in Devarim, Es Hashem lekecha tira, Hashem your God you should fear, v'oisei saved, and him you should serve. Again, Hishva kasav meiros av ve'em lemeros ha'makom. We see that the Torah is comparing, it says to fear, the same word, both by parents and by Hashem. So too, Nema, there's a pasuk in Shemais that says, Mekal av ve'im emais yuma, so whoever curses his father and his mother will surely be put to death. Now, Benema, there's a pasuk in Biyikra that says, Ish ish ki kal elikav, a man shall curse his God, benasachata, and he'll carry his sin. So again, we see Hishva kasav berchas aveim leberchas amakim. We see that the pasuk is comparing the cursing of one's father and mother to the cursing of Hashem. That's how severe it is. Now, aval b'hakav adei efsha. The Gemara says, although there is one more halacha that applies to how one treats one's parents in regards to one is not allowed to hit one's parents, and if it causes a black and blue mark, it could be cause for the death penalty. But that the pasuk can't equate with Hashem, because obviously one cannot, quote, hit Hashem, where Hashem is non-corporal. You can't do that, so therefore that's not equated. Now, on that, the Gemara concludes, v'chein b'din. And it's actually appropriate, this, that we're equating the regarding the son, the honor and the awe that he has to have regarding his parents, equating it to Hashem, because they're actually also partners with Hashem in regards to that person, sheshloshen shutfin bay, because they're all three partners in this person. And because of that, so now the respect that he has to have, and the awe and the appreciation and the not cursing that he has to have regarding the three partners are compared: his parents, his mother's father, and Hashem. So the Tana Rabbanu Linda Braisa says, Shleisha shutfin hay ba'adam. There are three partners in the person: HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Va'av Ve'imai, Hashem, his father and his mother. Which, as Rashi brings from a Braisa Masechtas Nida, that the man, his seed produces the white part in the person, the bone and other white things. The woman, her seed produces the red part, the blood, and so on. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathes in the soul into the person, which is the vision of the eye, the hearing of the ear, and the ability of speech. These are the three partners. Says the Braisa, Bizman Sha'od Mechaber Es Av Ve'Zimu. So at a time when a person honors his father and his mother, those two partners, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Mala Ne'aleim, I will compare it regarding them, kilu darti b'neim v'kibduni, as if I am dwelling amongst them and he's honoring me too, because those are two-thirds of the partnership are being honored. It's the enterprise that's being honored and appreciated for what we do for this person. Tanu Lirna Braisa, Rabbi Aimer, he says, golav yadu lefnei misha amav ahaya olam. He says, it was revealed and known in front of the one who spoke and created the world, sheben mechaber es ima yosem ma'aviv, that a son honors his mother more than his father. Why? Because, as we continue to talk about Laman Av and Av, because she appeases him and she soothes him with words. Now, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu prefaced the obligation of honoring one's father before the honoring of one's mother. It says, Kabet es avicha v'esemecha, to say that, you know, obviously you would first honor one's mother. That's why it equals that out by first putting the honoring of one's father first. Now, v'golav yidulef nimi shama v'ayilim, so too it's known and revealed in front of the one who spoke and created the world, which is using that terminology to say that this was the inborn characteristic because of Hashem in his Torah. That's how he was mahava the world, his daka baraisa bar alma. That's actually the leverage that the Torah was purposefully putting and creating. That's why we have those netiyos, those inclinations. Shaben misyar me'av v'yesim imay, that a son fears his father more than his mother. Why? And they should malam the Torah, because his father teach him Torah, which is the awe of the world. That's why the pasuk HaKadosh Baruch Hu prefaced fearing one's mother before one's father, again to balance that out, which it says ishes ime ve'es aviv tiro, to put the fear of one's mother, because obviously one would for sure fear one's father, so it has to first preface the fear of one's mother to show that responsibility of awe and respect for both one father and one's mother.